The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I'm Jonathan Capehart, and welcome to Capehart. The midterm elections are less than a month away, and Democrats are not only hoping to hold their razor-thin majority in the Senate, they're also hoping to pick up two more seats. The person leading that effort is the chair of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, Senator Gary Peters of Michigan. In this conversation, first recorded for Washington Post Live on October 12th, Senator Peters talked about what's at stake in general and the races in Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Ohio in particular. But Senator Peters is also the chair of the Senate Homeland Security Committee, and it was his message to Republican silence in the face of threats to our democracy that was most gripping.
It's incumbent on the American people to expect more from their elected officials. And when elected officials remain silent, when they need to speak out, voters need to punish that behavior and make sure that we're electing candidates who will stand up for American democracy.
So over the summer, as you well know, Democrats seem to have the wind at their backs. But we're now less than 4 weeks away from Election Day, and the polls in key races are tightening for Democratic candidates. What changed?
Well, actually, nothing changed from what we anticipated. We knew the polls would be tightening, and we knew that these elections are all going to be nail biters. They're all going to be very close. If you would have asked me last year, where do you see these races going into the last few weeks? I would have told you all of these battleground states are going to be very, very tight. It's going to be critical for us to have a ground operation to make sure that we turn out voters. As you know, Jonathan, we have voter turnout in a midterm tends to drop off from where a presidential election is. And so turnout is a major factor. It's something at the DSCC, which I am privileged to chair, has been making significant investments on the ground all across our battleground states to turn out that vote. So we're basically we're not surprised about where we are. No one should be surprised with these numbers, and know that it's going to come right down to Election Day, and very tight races will determine the majority in the Senate going into the next session.
And we'll talk about some key races in a little bit. But I want to pick up on what you were talking about in terms of turnout. You know, we hear that word all the time. You got to turn out the base. We're making investments to turn out voters. What exactly do you mean by that? Turn out how?
Well, it's our Defend the Majority program that we have instituted. And I'll just tell you in my own experience in 2020 when I ran in a very tight race in Michigan, as you recall, it came down to a very tight margin for both me as well as President Biden. And it was substantial investments that the DSCC made in Michigan fully 2 years out from the election, making sure that we had our voters list correct, that we were reaching out to voters, talking about issues that were important to them, ensuring that they got an absentee ballot or were ready to vote on Election Day. All of the mechanics, kind of campaign 101 when it comes to reaching out to those voters who you believe will support your candidates, and make sure that they actually vote. And it's not something you can turn on a dime. It's not something we can start up this month and hope that in 3 weeks we've got great turnout. This is something we've been doing over a long period of time. And quite frankly, I'm very confident that our ground operations are superior to what we are seeing, or quite frankly, not seeing on the ground with the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm. Turnout is one part of the equation. The other part of the equation is issues. Are the issues that potential voters are interested in. The Supreme Court's ending the constitutional right to abortion fueled a lot of that wind I mentioned earlier, but the latest Washington Post poll shows that the economy and inflation are more pressing. Economy at 85% say it's most pressing, inflation 78%, than abortion, which 62% of those polled said that it was the number one issue, or, you know, very important to them. And a majority of those polled trust Republicans to do a better job handling inflation and the economy, both 54%. How do you turn those trust numbers around, especially on inflation and the economy, handling of both?
Well, those are national numbers I think you're looking at, and the numbers that really matter are what's happening in the battleground states. That's where the elections are, right? It's not a national election that we elect senators. It's each state, and in each state, it's a candidate versus candidate race. And that's the major advantage that we have going into this election is candidate quality. I think it's very clear. In fact, we have Republican strategists and even the leader of the Republicans in the Senate have said that they have a problem with candidate quality. And ultimately, voters are going to go into that voting booth and they're going to have a choice. They're going to have a very clear choice between two candidates. They're going to take a look at those issues and also look at kind of what's in their gut about the individual candidates. And in every case, I am confident that those voters are going to believe that our Democratic incumbents who are running for re-election are clearly superior to their challengers. And our challengers are running great races and clearly differentiating themselves from their opponents. So this is going to be an election where it's going to be dependent on candidate quality. That's usually the difference, particularly in very close races, which we are looking at in all these races. So you add a ground operation, getting our voters out who are highly motivated on particular issues. We're seeing a lot of new voters, for example, highly motivated on the abortion issue. And the fact that Republicans are taking away a fundamental right from women is highly motivating. It's why you're seeing voter registrations up, particularly with women in all of these key states. These are folks who may not have voted otherwise. They may not even be on some of the call sheets for the pollsters, but they're registering that they want to get out and vote. And when you put all of that together with a clear contrast in candidates, I think that's a winning recipe. These races are going to be close, but we're feeling confident we're going to be winning.
I hear you on candidate quality, but I sit here wondering if a person, and I take your point that the poll numbers that from the Washington Post poll that I cited are national numbers, but you know it's hard to believe that fear or concern about the economy and inflation aren't having an impact on individual Senate races. And so I'm wondering, is candidate quality going to supersede a voter's anger at the party and the majority over that, you know, their anger over the economy or inflation eating into wage gains?
Well, certainly we are addressing the economy and how we address with the challenges that we have with inflation. For example, the inflation we're seeing in this country, very similar to inflation we're seeing in Western Europe. The UK is higher than the United States as a result of coming out of this pandemic. We know inflation is a difficult problem worldwide. So the question is, who's actually trying to deal with that issue? And Democrats are doing that. If you look at our incumbents in support of the Inflation Reduction Act, this is a piece of legislation signed into law that will lower prescription drug prices for seniors. It'll cap the amount of money that they pay for medical costs through their Medicare, a huge issue for seniors all across the country. We're dealing with energy costs to try to move away from a dependence on fossil fuels so that we're not tied to our prices for gasoline are not tied to global events like OPEC cutting production or Putin engaged in an illegal and murderous war. That's going to bring down prices from an energy perspective. So we are actually taking action when it comes to the economy. And I want to remind folks on that legislation that also reduces the deficit. Not one Republican voted for it. They did not vote for any common sense solutions to dealing with the challenges that we're facing with inflation. And what are they offering up? All we're hearing is that they want to have a national abortion law. They want to take away fundamental rights from women. They want to challenge elections. We've got candidates that are saying if they lose the election, they're going to challenge it because it's stolen. They want to undermine the fundamental basis of our democracy. That's what they're offering up to the American people. Democrats are dealing with tough issues and we're offering common sense solutions to those issues, whereas Republicans simply are not doing that.
Two more issues questions before we get into specific races. This is a question from California from John Sutter, picking up on something you just mentioned in terms of abortion. He's wondering, would Democrats ever consider new abortion legislation to take the place of Roe v. Wade? Conservatives are trying to get something off the ground. I know that the Senate, there was a move just after Dobbs by the Senate to try to do something to codify Roe v. Wade. Correct me if I'm wrong.
There is a move to look at that as to how do we codify Roe v. Wade. But bottom line, you need to have votes in order to do that. And that's why these elections are so important. If folks believe that Roe v. Wade should continue to be the law of the land as it has for over a half a century, that they need to make sure that that voice is heard loud and clear at the voting booth in the coming weeks. It is on the ballot. This is going to impact every state, especially if there's a national ban, as the Republicans have proposed. We also know that the Republicans have proposed legislation, for example. I mentioned lowering drug costs for seniors through negotiating the price of medicines, taking on the pharmaceutical companies, basically. No Republican voted for that. And now they've introduced legislation to take it away from the American people, a process by which we can lower drug prices. This is a race about contrast, and it's a race that should be very clear to the American people that will impact their lives in a very meaningful way. Why it's so important to take a look at this clear contrast between our candidates that are running and make sure that they vote Democratic.
One more issue, and that's crime. What's the Democratic response to the Republican mantra on crime and the polls that show that Republicans are more trusted on dealing with crime?
Well, what I'll say, the issue that I'm putting forward is not accurate where Democrats are. You know, I chair the Senate Homeland Security Committee. I wake up every day thinking about keeping Americans safe and have passed and implemented meaningful legislation to do that. Democrats have voted for substantial resources for police departments and first responders all across this country. When you look at our rescue plan, we helped police departments and first responders get through the challenges that they faced with the pandemic and make them stronger going forward. And on that very important legislation to fund police departments all across the state, all across the country, in every single state, Republicans voted no. So they certainly didn't put their money where their mouth is. And we all remember January 6th and the beating of police officers by that mob. And yet we see Republicans continuing to say, hey, nothing really happened on January 6th. Well, ask those Capitol police officers who suffered serious injuries whether or not something happened. Democrats stood with those police officers in the Capitol grounds. We stand with police officers all across our country.
All right, let's talk about these some specific races. Georgia, the incumbent senator, Reverend Senator Raphael Warnock, is in a close race with former NFL star Herschel Walker, who has denied reports that he paid for an ex-girlfriend's abortion. Today in the Washington Post headline, "Woman, I pressed Walker to pay for abortion he wanted." There's further reporting on this story. My question to you, Senator, is why is this race this close?
Well, I will say, first off, it's close because it's Georgia. Georgia is going to be a very close race. We certainly saw that in 2020. It was a very close race. There's no reason to think that it'll be different. But there's no question what we're hearing about Herschel Walker is very troubling. It's very troubling information. But ultimately, it's going to be the people of the state of Georgia that make a decision. This is back to candidate choice. Take a look at Raphael Warnock's outstanding record as a United States senator. Take a look at who he is as a person and compare that to his opponent. And I'm confident the voters of Georgia will see that clear contrast and will support Raphael Warnock. He will be elected. He will be the next or will continue to be a senator representing the state of Georgia. But we know this is going to come right down to the wire, which is why we're going to continue to raise the resources we need. Certainly, we need grassroots resources, not just for Georgia, but we need it in all the races. Republicans are outspending us with their super PACs. They've got a guy that gave $1 billion for their cause, a massive amount of money coming in from a very small number of very wealthy contributors are attempting to buy these elections. And Democrats do what we always do. We rely on our grassroots supporters. That's why we have defendthesenate.org, a website to support the work we're doing at the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee to make sure that we can push back against the super PAC money that is trying to buy these elections in these key battleground states. But You know, so far, our defendthesenate.org is a site that's been able to raise the resources. We're confident we're going to be able to do that as long as people in this country who care about the values that we stand for support what we're doing. We've got to lock arms here. We're fighting a small group of incredibly wealthy individuals who are putting forward extreme candidates in these races who do not represent the people in those states. And I would just encourage everyone, take a good look, hard look at the candidate who's running in your state and look at the difference in quality and the values that they represent and make sure you get out to vote.
I mean, it's not just billionaires who are standing behind these, well, I'll say it, questionable candidates. Your Republican counterpart, Senator Rick Scott of Florida, is gung-ho for Herschel Walker. He and Senator Tom Cotton did an event with him just the other day. Have a listen to what Senator Scott had to say about Herschel Walker recently.
Herschel's going to win, and they're starting to see Herschel's going to win, so they're going to throw everything under the sun at him. I talked to Herschel today. Herschel is a great candidate. He's focused on the right issues. Democrat Warnock has to defend all of his bad votes in the Biden agenda. That's going to hurt Democrats all across the country.
Your response to that?
Well, certainly, Rick Scott is going to say that because they want to have the majority. They want to make sure Senator McConnell is the majority leader in the Senate so they can push forward their agenda. And what is that agenda? We know they've got legislation to have a national abortion ban. We know, and Rick Scott, in fact, put out information that he wants to reassess Social Security and Medicare, perhaps cut those kinds of programs. They have a very extreme agenda. They don't like talking about their issues because they know it's out of step with the American people. And to them, this is all about power, and they're willing to support candidates who clearly, in my mind, are not ready for prime time. In fact, they're not ready for any time. And they represent extreme views that will actually hurt American families, both in the pocketbook, as well as undermine the very basis of our democracy, which are free and fair elections. This is a pivotal time in the history of our country. The American people are going to be faced with very clear choice this election. And I believe in the end, we will prevail.
So let's move to Pennsylvania in that Senate race between Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman, Democrat, against his Republican challenger, Mehmet Oz. That race is tightening. How much of the reason behind that tightening is, do you think, concern about Fetterman's health? He suffered a stroke back in May.
I sound like a broken record here, but we always expected these races to be very tight. That's what happens in the election. In fact, historically, you will see Republican candidates tend to tighten elections as you get closer to election. So what we're seeing is not anything that we didn't already expect. And certainly John Fetterman, his opponent, is trying to make issues of the fact that he had a health condition that he's now recovering from and healing from. It's curious. It's a doctor who wants to make an issue of a patient who is recovering from a health issue. We all have members of our family or people we've loved who have had strokes and have recovered. It takes time to do it. And we're seeing that with John Fetterman. And he is making remarkable progress. He is out on the campaign trail. He's holding huge rallies with people, getting excitement in Pennsylvania. And he's running against a guy who doesn't even really live in Pennsylvania. He's running against a guy who came from New Jersey and claims that he's an everyday guy, but he doesn't even remember how many houses he owns. And those houses are mostly all outside of Pennsylvania, except one that he recently purchased. He is a person who strongly supports Trump and that agenda and election denial. And he is certainly not a Pennsylvanian. So we've got John Fetterman, who is someone who has a distinguished record in Pennsylvania, fighting for the people of Pennsylvania, running against a guy from New Jersey.
You left out the word crudité also in your critique of Dr. Oz. One more question on Pennsylvania. How pivotal and how decisive will the debate between Fetterman and Oz be in that race?
I believe in debates. It's good to have debates for people to see the clear contrast. And I'm confident when folks see the two candidates on the debate stage that the choice will be clear. And John Fetterman will be the next United States Senator from Pennsylvania.
All right, let's turn to Ohio, because Democratic Congressman Tim Ryan debated his Republican challenger, J.D. Vance. They each landed some punches. Congressman Ryan came out of that debate to some good press and good reviews. But the next morning, on Morning Joe, Congressman Ryan complained that he's getting no help whatsoever from the party. Is the DSCC not providing support to Ryan? And if not, why not?
Well, we have provided the DSCC. We have provided resources for Tim Ryan. He's an outstanding candidate. There's no question. He is an incredibly strong candidate running an absolutely great race in Ohio. We have provided resources. We provided help with him and some of his media. We continue to work closely with him. And I help raise money all across the country for him from individual donors that will help him. And he's getting that support now. He needs to continue to get that. Certainly, grassroots support is critically important for all of our candidates. And you look at that in all of our battleground states. The reason that we're competitive on the money front is not super PACs. Super PACs are primarily all on the Republican side in terms of the amount of money that they have. They have massive amount of money that they're pouring into all of these races. Democrats, our only ability to have the resources necessary to run the kind of campaigns we need to run is when our grassroots supporters kick into things like defendthesenate.org. When people are giving money through those online platforms that help us at the DSCC, that allows us to help races in Ohio as well as all of our main races all across the country. So I believe in his candidacy. My organization, the DSCC, has invested in his candidacy and in his campaign. And we're going to continue, and I will continue, to work to raise money from individual donors all across this country to help us make sure that Tim Ryan is elected to the United States Senate. And I believe he can do that.
I was about to ask, I mean, y'all going to cut him a check? I mean, there's like four more weeks. Every penny helps.
Well, you know, where we are right now, obviously, this is crunch time for us. And so we are looking at all of our battleground states literally on a daily basis. We're going to be there to make sure that we get races across the finish line. But it is a constant assessment that we're making. And we're going to do everything we possibly can to support each and every one of our battleground candidates to the extent that we can. But understand that our money is not unlimited. We have a budget that we have to work with. And that's why I continue to just encourage folks who really understand how important this election is to get online, to support their individual candidates. In fact, our website, our defendthesenate.org, you can go there and you can look at all of the different individual candidates that are in our battleground states, and folks can give to that individual candidate to make sure that individual candidate that they believe most strongly about can have a chance, a real fighting chance to win. And when that happens, I'm confident we will not only hold a majority, we will also have an opportunity to pick up some seats and extend it. But it's going to take all of us locking arms together and understanding that we've got to do this together as a team. And that's what Democrats have done in the past and what we're going to have to do in the future.
Senator, we have less than a minute left, and I want to use that time to switch gears with this last question. As you mentioned earlier in the interview, you are the chair of the Homeland Security Committee. And I'm just wondering, how concerned are you that we could have a repeat of a January 6th style insurrection, either here in the nation's capital or in a state capital, anywhere in the country?
Well, I'm very concerned about the rise of extremist movements, groups that we're seeing in this country, violent extremist groups. We've engaged the Department of Homeland Security to monitor what is happening on social media sites. I've also had hearings, just recently have another hearing on how social media takes folks who have some kind of sort of interest in a particular topic and then takes them down a rabbit hole that often leads to extremist material and has the impact of sometimes turning that what they're reading on social media platforms into actual violence, whether it's at the U.S. Capitol or individual capitals or in our communities. We are facing a very dangerous situation right now with the rise of extremist groups. And politicians who flame those fires and flame that hate that can exist within some of these individuals, it is a very dangerous situation. Certainly I'm focused on it. I've been working closely with the Department of Homeland Security to make sure they're focused on it. But it's also incumbent for Americans all across this country to condemn what they're seeing and condemn politicians that flame or fuel those flames and make sure that their voice is heard loud and clear on Election Day.
One more, I know I've got you over time, and I'm sorry, Senator, but one more question. How surprised are you that Republican leaders are silent in the face of the hate that is coming from their party?
I'm beyond disappointed. I think it's outrageous. As elected officials, we have an obligation to lead and to strengthen the democracy of this great nation of ours. We also have an obligation to fight against violence and political violence in particular, which has absolutely no place in an American democracy, in this amazing democratic republic that we have. And to have political leaders remain silent means that they're complicit. It is unacceptable. And folks who remain silent in the face of the challenges to our very core democracy, they should be soundly rejected by the American people. It's incumbent on the American people to expect more from their elected officials. And when elected officials remain silent, when they need to speak out, voters need to punish that behavior and make sure that we're electing candidates who will stand up for American democracy.
Senator Gary Peters, chairman of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, thank you so much for coming to KPART on Washington Post Live, and I really appreciate your going a little bit over time with me today. Thank you.
My pleasure. Good to be with you, Jonathan.
Thanks for listening to KPART. It's produced by Nick Roberts. We'll have new episodes for you every Tuesday. I'm Jonathan KPART. You can find me on Twitter at KPARTJ.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.